They didn't bow down to him as a god, we know that, but they did give him the respect that a minister of the gospel should be given. And Titus felt that and saw that, and he was just thrilled to death with it. And so in verse 6, I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. You will notice how that Paul, even though this was such a very carnal lot of believers, Paul is making every effort to commend them for that part of spirituality that he does see. And this is so important in our lives. I think sometimes we get to a place where we begin to concentrate on the things that are wrong rather than the things that are right. We really need to put more of a positive slant and emphasis and commend people on that which is right and not just always enlarge on that which is wrong. I heard of a person that came to his pastor one day and he said to him in all sincerity, "If we ever do anything right, will you tell us?" You know, and I think that's right. People do need to know when they've been doing it right. They need to be encouraged in that regard. And that's what Paul was doing here in this chapter. All right, let's take about 5 minutes. We'll come back to chapter 8. All right, 2 Corinthians 8. And this, again, is a very important chapter. It is another money chapter. We've already seen that Paul absolutely does not beg for money, and he does not, as so many today, try to put people in bondage and fear and guilt and all of this. He doesn't use all of those tactics. But he does preach the gospel, and it really is important to teach giving. And that's what we have in this chapter. The first thing I want to notice is that 2 Corinthians 8 is to be contrasted with 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 deals with the tithe. And so we find that Paul speaks over there, the tithe goes to the pastor. And then, of course, the pastor is, all of that money is not to be used for his own for his own self and gratification. He has so many responsibilities of taking care of the what I call the fold. He's responsible for all of those financial obligations of the meeting, all these various things. There's also times that he is going to be called on to meet financial needs of people in the congregation. I mean, that's the needs of the sheep, and this is what he's charged with. And so 1 Corinthians 9 deals with the tithe, which is to go to the pastor and gospel workers. Now, 2 Corinthians 8 is not, that money does not go to the ministry in that way, or to the pastor. We'll see that this was a special offering over and above the tithe. It is just simply giving. Now, the first thing we want to notice about is in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Perhaps we've never considered giving as being referred to as a grace, but that's exactly what Paul refers to it here. We see that in verses 2 and 3, and then we also see it down in verse 6. So, notice this. We do you to wit, or to witness, or to know of the grace bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And here is that grace, verse 2. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." The grace that was in these Macedonian saints, and the Macedonian saints are exactly the same ones as Philippian believers. When Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, it was written to these Macedonian believers. Some of the deepest truth that there is in the Scripture. They were a very special people. They were a very poor people. Now, the Corinthian assembly was a very rich assembly. But the Macedonians just outgave them, not only percentage-wise, really, but in actual literal amounts. And the Macedonians had to give out of their poverty. And that's what I want to see, a description of the grace that they had. First in verse 2, great trial of affliction. It was not an easy thing for them to give. It was out of their own trial of affliction that they gave. And notice, the abundance of their joy. It was not wrung out of them. It was not something that somebody came down here and made them feel so guilty that they had to give. They had a joy about giving, even though it was a great sacrifice to them. They had a great joy in giving. Notice further, their deep poverty. It wasn't just poverty, it was deep poverty. These people, really, as Paul says on down here, they gave beyond their power. They actually didn't have it. If you look at the convenient way, the easy way, but it was out of their deep poverty, and you'll notice they abounded. It means it was quite a sum that they had come up with out of nowhere, as it were. It abounded under the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, to their power. That is, as to their ability. And then Paul corrects that. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. It was actually more than what they, as we would say, they were able to afford. Certainly able comfortably to afford. And next, they were willing of themselves. It was not because that someone else had coerced them into it. They were willing of themselves. And notice how far that willingness went. Verse 4, praying us. That means literally begging us. Now, I've probably had a few over the years that have begged me to take their money, but not many. But these literally begged Paul to take this money. They were going to be absolutely offended or so sorely disappointed if he didn't. Begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering, and notice this, to the saints. This is not to the work of the ministry. This is not to the gospel. This is not to the workers. This is not to Paul. This is to the saints. And of course, it is that offering that we have been reading about for a number of, in a number of places, both to the Romans and the Corinthians. This was that special offering that they had taken for those poor Jews at Jerusalem. And so, they wanted Paul to take this ministering to the saints. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped. Here is the secret of all giving. First, gave their own selves to the Lord. When we give our own selves to the Lord, then not only everything that we have, but everything that we are becomes His. And this is what God is wanting from every one of us. And it doesn't make any difference whether we have a lot of money or whether we don't have any. God still wants us. That's the key to giving. They first gave of their own selves to the Lord. And then unto us, they were very compliant with the Apostle Paul. They gave unto him too, by the will of God. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus. Now, once again, you'll notice that Titus had a real close affiliation with this assembly, and there was a bond or a tie between them. And so Paul desired Titus to come down here and to finish the work that he had already started, so to speak. So, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, and notice this, the same grace also. That is the grace of giving. Paul wanted to be finished or completed, perfected in the lives of these Corinthians. Now, when he says that he would also finish it, it means that the Corinthians had only begun in this matter. Yes, they knew how to give in a certain degree, but they did not have the fullness of the Spirit of grace that these Macedonian saints did. And again, I point out that the Corinthian assembly was a very rich assembly. They actually could afford it, and yet they didn't. And so Paul wanted that grace finished in them. Therefore, in verse 7, as you abound in everything. Notice once again how much Paul commends these people as to what they actually have. I think sometimes people have certain things and they don't even take time to realize it. Some people think, well, I don't have any kind of gifts or blessings or anything like that. Notice how that Paul points out how very well off these Corinthians were in spiritual things. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, that means that they were actually able to speak this wonderful message that they had learned. They had this testimony, a verbal testimony they could give. Number three, in knowledge, that is the knowledge of the Word of God. The message that Paul preached hadn't completely fallen on deaf ears. They still had a great deal of knowledge that they had learned from the Apostle Paul. And in all diligence, they had a certain zeal for the gospel. And in your love to us, Paul could commend them in measure for the love that they had to him. So in love to us, then he says, see that you abound in this grace also. You are lacking in the grace of giving. Verse 8, Paul says, I speak not by commandment. And that means that Paul says, I am not going to demand or to speak as a dictator that you do this. It's not holding it over your head until you do it. Now, I have heard some horror stories of certain fundraisers, so to speak, in certain assemblies. And some have just said, listen, we are not going to leave here until we get a certain amount of money. Now, that, to me, is absolutely criminal. It's just not right. And so Paul was not going to do that. He gave people the opportunity to give, but he was not going to wrench it out of them, as he says in another place. So I speak not by commandment, but, number one, by occasion of the forwardness of others. He used the example of the Macedonians as an impetus or an incentive for the Corinthians to give. He held the Macedonians up as an example of that giving and said, surely you can do the same thing. Number two, he wanted them to prove the sincerity of your love. This giving is an expression of love. It's just a principle of that. For example, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's the secret of giving, is love. And we should give out of a heart of love. We should be motivated by divine love to give. So Paul, verse 9, we see how that he used Christ as an example, the preeminent example of giving. You know the grace. And again, he calls this giving a grace. So you know that grace of giving, so to speak, that Jesus had. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He had all of the riches in glory that we simply cannot comprehend, and yet he gave all of that up and took on himself abject poverty. He willingly became impoverished in order that he might give those other riches unto us. Notice how Paul puts it. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The grace of giving caused Jesus everything that he had in order that he might give these marvelous riches unto us. Verse